Happy early Thanksgiving to Husker and Jay listeners out there. Hello, everybody. This is the Half Court Press Podcast with Sam McEwen and Wilson Moore on Zoom. We're doing it on a Tuesday because Creighton will open playing Kansas City on Wednesday. Nebraska's going to play Wednesday night. We figured you'd want to hear from us before then. Next week, you will get the new beat writer for Creighton basketball. We'll introduce that person next week. I'll be on that podcast, but then from there, that person and Wilson will take the show. So it should be a lot of fun. How you doing, Wilson?
I'm doing pretty well. We're doing this a little early. Nebraska football availability usually isn't until like 11:30. It's been a while since I've been up at 9 a.m. So doing well. Had to adjust as athletes and coaches like to talk about. So, yeah.
These are the sacrifices that we make. I think I don't know what it is today. Obviously, John Cook's going to be in there. Merritt Beeson, the best athlete on campus, will be talking before Cook, I think. And then we'll get Tony White and the coordinators. But we will we'll first here talk about Husker hoops. Then we'll go to Jay hoops. We're going to talk a little Big East and Big Ten early in the season, too. Let's start here. You went up to Sioux Falls. Nice work from up there. Game story, note package, and then a really neat story, kind of a walk and talk, which was I like. What was it? It's the bus? Did they fly up there? Did they bus up?
They took the bus. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So I'm sure that was a fun trip home. A dominant win for Nebraska in a lot of ways. After the first 3 minutes, Nebraska really flexed its muscles and just pushed Oregon State around. Husker friendly crowd inside the Pentagon. What jumped out to you about Nebraska's play up there?
The way the Huskers played defense. They got into kind of a rhythm offensively. That was how they pulled away in that 18-0 run in the first half. But I think the bigger thing was just how much they shut Oregon State down for a real extended period of time. Jordan Pope is a really talented guard. He scored the Beavers' first 9 points and finished with 25, but they were able to contain him for that particular stretch as they pulled away, and especially inside, which was not definitely not the easiest assignment Nebraska's had, with Josiah Alec and Rink Mask and Jawan Gary down low. The Oregon State has some big guys. They've got a 7'2" guy. They've got 6'10" down there, and those three for Nebraska really controlled the boards. I think the Huskers had double digit offensive rebounds. They got a bunch of extra chances, got a lot of rebounds, and really kind of pushed Oregon State around for that like kind of 11 minute stretch at the end of the first half.
Yeah, Oregon State did not appear ready for that grind. Maybe the travel out from Corvallis to Sioux Falls was arduous. I'm still not clear why they agreed to play the game. I thought Nebraska would have a ginormous advantage going into that game because of where it was going to be played. I'm sure Oregon State got there and go, are you kidding me? This entire crowd is Nebraska fans. So it was like playing a road game. And you could tell that after a few minutes, Nebraska got settled in. Maybe they got used to the rims. They started making shots. Jawan Gary off the suspension. First two games, this is the guy that played the defense last year. Now all of a sudden he's got an offensive game. He's been really good through two games.
Yeah, he has been in ways I think we expected him to be, in ways that have been a little bit more of a surprise. You know, we knew he was going to come in and grab offensive rebounds, get putbacks, just be energetic, and, you know, which is something every team needs. But he's shot the ball pretty well, and you know, he's looked good doing it, which I know that's not, you know, analytical, but that's just the eye test. But he pulled up got the ball on in transition, stopped for a three, and just drilled it one of his baskets the other night. He just looked confident stepping into it. He did not look like a big man trying to step out and shoot a three. It looked natural. He hit two and first game against Stony Brook that he played. If he's making jump shots and doing all the things he's proven he can do offensively and defensively, that really changes things and creates, you know, puts another element into what Nebraska can do.
Yeah, and I like the role that I think Alec is going to have for this team. I don't know that it would have been great if Alex asked to score 15 points a game, but what he's doing right now, if Bryce Williams keeps hitting threes and Rink Mass keeps playing the way he is, and Juwan Gary's not going to average 15.5 points for the season. That's not going to happen probably, but if he keeps this kind of offensive game up, then it frees up Josiah Alec to do what he's doing. And what is that?
Yeah, that's providing energy. That's getting rebounds. That's playing defense. Just the other day, I saw on Twitter someone quote tweeted the story. I wrote on him with a stat. Nebraska's opponents are scoring. I don't have the exact numbers, but it's a lot more points, like per 100 possessions, with Alec off the court than with him on it. And so he does a lot defensively. He can grab rebounds. We haven't seen a ton of a lineup Fred Hoiberg kind of teased at the beginning of the season, but I wonder if we will, especially if Gary is hitting jump shots, kind of big man bully ball lineup that has Gary, Alec, and Mast. I'm kind of intrigued by that, and I wonder if we're gonna see more of that. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's best if Alec carries the scoring load. He hasn't shot the ball from three particularly well. I know they were kind of hoping he would, but his past with that was mixed. He has shot like 35% in one season when he was at Kansas City. But yeah, just a lot of different things. He loves running out in transition. You can get him baskets. That the big dunk he had, he sets that entire play up where he tips the pass and then beats everyone else down the floor. So he can do a lot of things just with his hustle and energy.
I agree with you. You know, they want their four, and Alec isn't necessarily their four, but Mast is, whatever you want to say. They want their four to be able to shoot threes. And since Hoiberg's got there, they've struggled with that. I mean, Breidenbach was supposed to be that guy. He wasn't that guy in Nebraska. I don't know what he's going to be at his new school. I haven't looked at his stats, but he wasn't that guy in Nebraska. They thought Latt would be that, and Latt should have been that. That's what Latt was brought here to do. And Latt was only medium consistency as a three-point shooter. So far, Rink Mass, 28% from three. And Alec is, he's 33%, but he's not taking the threes. The guy that's been surprising is Gary. And then Bryce Williams has done what he was brought here to do. So if Bryce Williams keeps hitting 43%, that's where Andrew White was roughly at in his 1 year at Nebraska. If Bryce Williams does that, then you're in good shape. I mean, that's where you want Bryce Williams to be. I think he's played well early too. And he's a good passer for a guy that's really not designated as the point guard. I think he's played well. In terms of the Big Ten, Nebraska is technically, as of today, we're recording this on a Tuesday morning, technically leading the Big Ten because they have one more win than Penn State, Purdue, and Purdue. And those are the only three undefeated teams in the league. Penn State, couldn't tell you a ton about the teams they played. I do know a little bit about Purdue. I've watched them beat Gonzaga. It looks like an awfully good Purdue team. It looks like they're a little bit better than last year at in the backcourt. They're the number two team in the country. Am I correct in saying if they go all the way to the end thing here, they're going to play Kansas, and it's going to be 1-2 in Maui?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, because Kansas played Chaminade last night. That would make sense.
Yep, that's what I think, and I think there's a good chance of that happening. As you look at the Big Ten so far, I mean, it hasn't been impressive outside of Purdue and Nebraska. And maybe, I don't think Illinois had a bad loss.
I thought Illinois played very well in that game.
I thought they played pretty well. And if Coleman Hawkins hits two or three more shots, I think they win the game. Indiana got boat raced at UConn, but I don't know. I mean, that's a hard place to play. But what have you seen so far from the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it's Purdue and everyone else. I also watched that game against Gonzaga last night, and what really stood out to me is obviously, Zach Edey is always going to be there. He didn't even play that well last night and still finished with a 20-point double-double, 50% shooting. Braden Smith, I thought, was fantastic. He will, if this Purdue team, makes a run in March and, kind of is able to flip the narrative, I think it'll be because Braden Smith took a leap this year. He was great.
Expect,
he
made, right? Yeah. Expect that freshman and sophomore years.
Yeah. He was great. He made all the right plays. He plays with a certain edge that is a lot of fun. He had that last year too. But yeah, I mean, Illinois seems intriguing with that loss to Marquette. Wisconsin kind of saved face last night by beating Virginia. That would have been, what, their third or fourth loss if they hadn't, but they blew out Virginia on the road. That was a good win. And we'll see about Michigan State. I mean, they came in returning a lot of guys and with a pretty impressive recruiting class. They had the early stumble. But I know I've talked to you about this. I always save my evaluation of Michigan State for later in the year because Tom Izzo turns it on in March.
You're right. At the same time, that hurts the Big Ten's overall resume when they lose games that they could win. Oh, yeah. And I'm not even saying they should have beaten Duke because I watched that game. I don't think they should have. Duke seems like a pretty damn good team to me. And they might have the best player in the country too. But, you know, the first one, that's a joke loss. Can't lose that game. And so, you know, it hurts the resume. It hurts the league when they're not able to win the games they're supposed to win. And you know, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, I think the Big Ten, we heard somebody talk, and this is true. You know, Nebraska's been through these haunted halls before where they won, you know, 23 games and they, I think, finished fourth in the Big Ten and they got a fifth seed in the NIT because the league was so down that it just didn't, you know, benefit them. Now, the NET is in place and that might help Nebraska if they ever got to a 23-win season. But the general gist is you want to have a 6 or 7 bid league when you're 14 and Nebraska's got to be careful. They can't control what other teams do. That's just one thing they can't do unless they're playing them. Maryland off to a 1-3 start. They're not good. They're going to struggle. And that's not that surprising to me. I'm not impressed with I'm impressed with Maryland's talent. I'm not impressed with Maryland's whatever. I don't even know. Consistency, discipline. They just seem like an undisciplined program to me and have been. Since they've gotten the Big Ten, they just haven't been as good as I think we all thought they would be. I think we all thought they'd be a top 4 program every year, and they haven't been. They've been hanging out in the 7 and the 8 and the 9 range. As it relates to the Big East is off to a really good start. Now, obviously, an interesting game tonight. So Marquette plays Kansas. Marquette can beat Kansas. They have a better point guard. They may have the deeper roster. I think Kansas obviously has the better post and they have more talent. But Marquette's got a really good shot. That game's on at 9:30 tonight. I'll be watching that one. Marquette's got a really good shot of winning that game. And if they do, look out. I mean, that's the new number one team in the country. You know, you go beat Illinois at Illinois, you've done something. And Marquette would be number one of the country if they beat Kansas, especially if they go and beat Kansas and Purdue. So the Big East has been pretty incredible in that way. And I think Creighton's look good. I mean, they're 4-0. They had, you know, I'm sure they were a little frustrated maybe with what game, you know, probably would have been the second game. But I don't think anything about the Iowa game. I thought they played well and Iowa hit shots and good for Iowa. But then, you know, they really hammered Texas Southern. And now they get 2 in a row. They get Loyola Chicago, who I don't think is a very good team. In fact, I know they're not. But the winner, if they win that game, and they will, probably by 20, then they play Boston College or Colorado State. And Colorado State's pretty good. I don't really know how else to say that. And I don't know if they're going to beat BC. I think both teams are undefeated. But I think Colorado State's pretty good. Like, they're good defensively. They can score. And they've got, you know, they've got a couple of guys on their team that I think are generally dangerous. And people may forget this, but they lost or they beat Creighton 3-4 years ago. People do not necessarily recall that, but they did. So it'll be kind of interesting to see if that game comes to pass in Kansas City. That game would happen on Thanksgiving Day. And I don't really know how many fans they're going to have there on Thanksgiving Day in Kansas City for Creighton, Colorado State, if that game comes to pass. So, you know, I guess we'll find out. But they've got, you know, you can't sleep on that team. They shoot the three really well. Colorado State is a really good three-point shooting team. They're shooting the three at a 41% clip. How's that? Pretty good, huh?
Not bad.
They got one guy shooting 69%. Neek Clifford. He's shooting 69% from three. Isaiah Stevens, who's their best player, is shooting 50% from three. So some of this stuff's going to change. I mean, they haven't played very good opponents. You know, they've played Northern Colorado and Wright State and a bunch of other teams that aren't very good. So, but UConn, look, I mean, I didn't watch it, but UConn hammered Indiana. Yeah. And you've already talked, you thought Indiana would take a step back anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they don't make enough three-pointers. And unlike last year, they don't have Trace Jackson Davis to throw it down to get 2 points basically whenever they want. Yeah, they haven't looked very impressive.
And UConn's good, man. UConn. So they beat Texas. I don't even know what version of Texas this is. I mean, it feels like they have guys that have been playing college basketball for 9 friggin' years, but UConn's good. They're good. And I think one thing I will say about them, and I'll be bowing out, man, Texas has Max Abemis and Tyrese Hunter. Okay. One thing I will say about UConn, I won't be on this podcast much longer once we add the new person, is I think that, you know, Adonis Sinoga was a fine player. And Jordan Hawkins is darn good. I think that team was the sum of its parts in a lot of ways. And I was not concerned about losing Sinoga. I just didn't think that was going to be that big of a deal. I think he's a good player, but they got a guy that's just as good now there. And then they got another guy that's good too. And I don't know. They're going to be awfully tough to beat. I mean, the Big East is really falling into something sweet here. And what's interesting is the Big 12 basically told UConn no. I think they're like, we don't want you. I don't know if that was rooted in the football program. We don't want to travel out there. I don't blame the Big 12 for not wanting to do that. We don't want to find a partner. We don't want to add Gonzaga to this. We don't want to do whatever that. Let's just make this the basketball league for now. But UConn would have really, really taken that league by storm. And I know how good the Big 12 is, but they're hard to beat. I mean, they are a smothering, smothering program. The Big Three and the Big East are special. And then you got Providence, you know, which I think is playing pretty well. Seton Hall's undefeated. Couldn't tell you a ton about them. St. John's is rocky early. That's pretty evident. That's gonna be a work in progress. They lost to Dayton. They lost pretty handily to Michigan. Now they got Utah, and their schedule's too hard. Wilson, it's too hard. They've got too many tough games. And I think Patino set it up that way. You know, and they're screwing around with, they're going to West Virginia, and they're, you know, they're playing neutral site games, and it's just, so they're going to have a weird first half of the year, and then they're going to have to try to figure it out as the year goes on. But St. John's is expected to be a threat once they get into the Big East. I guess we'll see what happens there. And then as I look at Villanova, they lost to Penn, but they beat Maryland 57-40. Maryland's bad.
Yeah.
They scored 40 points in a college basketball game. That's not.
I don't know how you can do that when you have it. They have, like, arguably the best guard in the conference and are still doing that.
Arguably the best guard in the conference. Yeah, I guess so. They lost to Davidson, UAP. Next up's UMBC, and for veteran Husker fans, they remember the time that Nebraska lost to UMBC. I don't know that Maryland will lose to UMBC, but Nebraska once did. Maryland, Baltimore County. I think that's who they lost to.
Yeah, for the first 16 seed to win an NCAA tournament game.
That's right. That's good. I didn't want to end the podcast without mentioning the Nebraska Creighton women's game. I don't have to unpack this at all if you don't want to. Wilson, both teams have important games this week. They have Thanksgiving tournament games. Creighton's going to play Michigan State, Georgia Tech, which is harder than what Nebraska's doing, which is playing Lamar and TCU. So Creighton beat Nebraska. You know, it's a game that Nebraska doesn't have a ton of time to seethe over, but Nebraska should have won the game. Creighton doesn't have very much depth, Wilson. They don't have much at all. In fact, they have their five starters. Their sixth player, who's Jamie Horan, got hurt. They don't have a ton behind her. When they had a player foul out, they don't have a ton. They just don't have a ton. And on some level, you know, the benefit of having the big three, you know, Emma Ronsick and Morgan Malley and Lauren Jensen is great, but maybe you're not necessarily able to recruit, get players out of the portal because they're not, you know, you're not going to be able to get them a starting role. And so you're young outside of that group. And so they have to rely a lot on those starters, and that's fine. But late in games, when you don't have much depth, you get tired. And Creighton was tired. And in Nebraska, even though they had some banged up players, was surging a little bit. And I'll tell you what, they got to the end of the game and Nebraska just, you know, they didn't make the plays and Creighton did. Creighton found that last little bit of energy and they got a fast start and then they held the lead the entire game. Probably shouldn't have. Nebraska probably should have come back and finished it off, but Creighton made the plays. And it's another game in the series where Jim Flannery's got his players ready to make the plays in the last 2 minutes. And Nebraska does not have its players ready to do the same. And it's been a pretty consistent marker of the series. I'm sure Nebraska is going to kick itself over losing that game. They'll probably say that Jazz Shelley, if she doesn't hurt her ankle in the middle of the week, maybe she hits more threes. I don't know if that's true or not. I think Creighton just finds the way to win that game. And not sure how you allow the best player on the floor, and Morgan Malley is the best player on the floor now. In any time Nebraska and Creighton will play, I don't know how you allow her to do what she did at the start of the game. She scored 16 points, I think, in the first quarter. So I don't know how you allow that. You know, that's like the Trailblazers letting Michael Jordan go for 40 by half. I mean, it's just you can't do it, and they did, and they lost. So this week is an important week for Creighton, and it's going to be a hard one because they go down to Cancun, which will be a great place to go. I've never been to Cancun. Have you been to Cancun?
No, crap.
Never been to Cancun. I know people who have. They say to go to Senior Frogs, but I've never been there, and this will be hard for that team because they're going to play two power conference teams that have more depth than they do, and they're going to have to find a way to win at least one. I don't know if they will or they won't. Nebraska, on the other hand, they're going to go to the St. Petersburg Classic and play Lamar and TCU, and I think Nebraska wins all those games. So it was an important game for Creighton. They needed to win it because they lost to Green Bay, and I just don't know if they can win two games this week. And they may not win one. I don't know. They're going to be challenged, I think, in both games because of their depth. They got to find a way to develop a little bit more depth on their bench. So that they can relieve these starters of a few minutes. I don't even know what it's like to play 30 minutes in a basketball game of clock minutes. Like, not, that's insane. You know, like, that's really hard to do. There's players in the NBA who do it with regularity, but that's not easy to do. Any parting thoughts? Nebraska plays, who do they play now? Duquesne?
They play Duquesne tomorrow. Yep.
What do we know about this?
I think Duquesne will be the best team Nebraska has seen to this point. They blew out Ryder and Stony Brook, similar to how Nebraska did, you know, won both of those games by double digits against common opponents. They have two really talented guards that I'm interested in seeing how Nebraska defends, because they took kind of a defender by committee approach on Jordan Pope against Oregon State. So I'm interested in seeing how they handle it when there are two guys who can score from a lot of different places on the floor. And
Grant takes 10 three-pointers a game.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. That might lead the country.
I figure it's close, if it doesn't.
They're not very big.
No, they're not. And That's advantage Nebraska.
And it would appear, from what I can tell, the largest guys on the team don't play that much. So that's a small lineup.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Duquesne, whatever league. What league is Duquesne in? I don't even know. The Colonial?
I was going to say the Patriot League, but don't quote me on that one.
Okay. Hey, it ain't my job to know. So, okay. Duquesne. All right. If Nebraska wins that one, then they play Sunday against Cal State Fullerton. I don't know how good they are, but Nebraska should, by all accounts, be 7-0 when they play Creighton. And what a fun thing that would be if both teams are undefeated. And I kind of expect both teams to be undefeated when that happens.
I think that would be the most, you know, the most likely outcome. Yeah. Duquesne is in the Atlantic 10.
Oh, they're in the A-10. Yeah. Sweet.
But okay. I think, you know, if both teams take care of business, there's no reason they shouldn't each be 7-0 on December 3rd.
You know, my friend, there is a gulf of difference between the Patriot League and the A-10. It's a large gap. So it's as big as the gap between Purdue and everybody else in the Big Ten. Okay. last parting shot here. So you think Purdue's gonna win tonight against Texas or UConn? Or who do they have tonight? Do they have UConn?
No, because UConn's in New York. They're at Madison Square Garden.
Tennessee.
So yes.
Do you think they're gonna beat Tennessee and then they're gonna play who?
They're gonna beat Tennessee, and then, you know, give me Marquette over Kansas. I think we see Purdue, Marquette, the winner of that, the number one team in the country the next week.
Number one team in the country. College basketball is pretty darn sweet at the end of college football season for Wilson. I'm saying thank you for listening to the Half Court Press podcast. We'll be back next week with the new beat writer and previewing, yes, the big game. Nebraska, great. Take care.